Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 8, the third paragraph that begins with, near the end of that bleak November, reading through that one paragraph ending with, I would need it before daylight. Today's readers are Karen W. for the 12 Steps, Bonnie B. for the 12 Traditions, Tamara C. will be reading the text, and Colleen M. will read page 164. Our newcomer greeter will be Loretta M., and our second hour host will be Maria F. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 10th, 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting is 21,210. That's 21210. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida, gratefully recovered today by the grace of my higher power, who I call God. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Bonnie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story on page 8, the third paragraph, which begins, near the end of that bleak November, and ends with, I would need it before daylight. We will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will ask Tamara C. to begin the reading.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Tamara C., grateful to be recovered, and I live in Southwest Missouri. Near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through that night and the next day. My wife was at work. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin near the head of our bed. I would need it before daylight. Whew. So here we are in this place of Bill's story, and Bill is no longer trying to prove he is important. He no longer has that old fierce determination to win. He is no longer under the delusion that he can control his drinking. He doesn't mean business. He is not renewing his resolve or laughing at the gin mills. Like me, Bill was cornered. He was just waiting to die or be shut up in an asylum, just trying to get through the next 24 hours. Boy, I can identify with that. It has been maybe about a couple of weeks since his last return to that insanity of the first drink. And he is desperate for his substance. He has it hidden around the house. He's feeling the satisfaction of, okay, I'm okay for right now. I have access to it. Will I be okay tomorrow? Do I have enough? Will I be able to get through the night? I'm going to need it tonight. And he just can't bear the thought of not having access to it. And he doesn't want Lois to see him drinking. He doesn't want to drink in front of her. Whether, you know, maybe he thinks she'll stop him or try to stop him, or maybe he's ashamed. And I sure can identify in. I was cornered. There was no fight left in me. I was just trying to get through another day. And access to food took on more importance than living my life with the people I loved. I had this constant food thinking. When will I get to eat? Will I be able to eat when that desperate desire overtakes me? Like, what if I go to this social event, and right in the middle of it, that craving comes over me and it's not time to eat. How can I eat without others seeing what I'm doing? Will I be able to sneak away? Even in my misery and desperation, even just waiting to die, I cared about what the world thought of me. I wanted to hide away and eat alone. I wanted to escape the story I told myself about what everyone was thinking of me. My husband, he was never critical of my eating or my weight gain. He never said one thing. And still, I was embarrassed and tried to hide even from him how much I was eating. It was a very dark place for me before the dawn. And this was my step one. I was cornered at last. And thank God for the dawn of steps 2 to 12 and for the miracle of a new way of life. I will pass with that.
Thanks so much, Tamara C., for getting us started. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Hi, this is Sherry.
ADG,
I'm not going
from
to
Boston.
Share, but I need to let someone know that this conference was locked when I tried to come in, and I came in under the dashboard. Is that a mistake or is that deliberate?
Thanks, Sherry. We'll see if someone
ADG.
Can look into that.
Thank
you. Johan N.
Thanks.
Johan N.
Bonnie B.
So far, I've got Katie G., Johan M., and Bonnie B. Would anyone else like to share? I can take a few more names.
Karen W.
Vasa O. Can I be heard?
Yep, I got you, Vasa. So Katie G., Johan M., Bonnie B., Karen W., Vasa O. I can take one or two more names. All right, let's stop there then. So I've got Katie G., Johan M., Bonnie B., Karen W., and Vasa O. When you come up to share, please do give me the give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and the location where you're sharing so we can find you on the member list. Please press star 1 to mute your line, and we'll get started with Katie G., followed by Johan M. Go ahead, Katie.
Hey, Crystal. Good morning. Sorry to talk over you. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston, and you know, when I read this, I thought about how since, you know, this really shows my alcoholism, right, my food addiction. You know, for me, what I related to is thinking that my safety and my security comes from something outside of myself. I remember at an early age, you know, feeling fundamentally like I didn't belong in my body or where I was or with the people that I was with, and I earnestly needed something outside of myself to make me feel better. And I would go to school and I would have something happen and I would think, it's okay, you've got your safe space, you've got your safe space. And my safe space was at home with a bunch of food, binging my brains out. And I tried repeatedly over and over and over again. I mean, I don't, you know, if you're here, you know what it's like to get all the food and to get in bed and to fall asleep with food in your mouth and wake up, you know, and put more food in your mouth, you know, and that to me, you know, he's creating what he later calls an oasis, right? Like a place to escape life. And the problem with these oases is that food never kept me safe, is that something outside of me never keeps me safe. The safety ends, right? And today, you know, I'm recovered, thanks be to God. And all that means is that for these 24 hours, I don't live in some fantasy and some delusion that sitting in my house with a bag of Doritos is going to make me feel safe and secure, because there's nothing there. And even if I it's not just that I cognitively know that, I know that spiritually, because God has entered into my mind, into my heart, in a way that is absolutely miraculous. And if you're new and you're eating and that doesn't make sense, just stay where you are. Food is not your safe space. There is so much more. And yet I have to remember, being recovered does not mean I'm cured. So how am I, as a recovered woman, what oases am I seeking today? What certain satisfactions am I getting out of life? Am I seeking idols in money, in relationships? You know, it is not alcoholism, it is alcoholism. And so I need to continue to look at, where am I getting my satisfaction in life? Am I getting my satisfaction from making myself feel the most important on the Vision for You line? Am I making myself feel better because I'm the best mom or the best wife? Or am I making myself fit to be of maximum service to God and to those around me? Because this is a story of God and how God has saved me, how God has given me safety and security. And that is where it starts and ends. And I'm so grateful to be a recovered member of this community and to get my satisfaction from Him. And there's so much hope here. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie. Next, we have Johan M., followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, good morning. My name is Johan M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Sweden. Thank you so much for service today. Thank you for that lead share. Amazing and really good paragraph. That reminds me how it was before I came to the final end, how it was being in the food. And when my life was just about food and about eating and trying different solutions. Well, not really solutions, but, you know, trying different ways to get it under control. I just wanted it under control. I wanted to be able to, you know, eat normal and then once in a while eat a bit more, you know, like other people could do, eat their candy on Fridays or on Saturdays like we do here in Sweden. But, you know, it was just impossible. And coming to the bitter end, where I started purging, I got faced with the fact that I was a compulsive overeater and that I was powerless. And, you know, from there, I was gifted the desperation to finally go into the real solution, to the solution. And I knew from the beginning what the solution was. I'm in two other fellowships before this. So I knew that that there was a solution for this problem as well. But, you know, still, I couldn't accept the fact that I was a compulsive overeater because I didn't want to let go of the food. So finally coming to OA, getting a sponsor, working the steps, having a spiritual, you know, spiritual awakening, and with that, you know, finding the solution. The steps are the way to the solution, and the solution is God, and having a relationship with God, and nurturing this relationship every day through step 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, it's with any other relationships that I have with my children, with my workplace, with my wife, or with my friends, that I need to give relationships time. It's the same thing with God. If I don't give God of my time, I don't have a relationship with Him. If I don't have a relationship with Him, I'm not abstinent. And, you know, I live a terrible life. But thanks to this, I'm happy, joyous, and free. So I'm so glad that there is a solution. I'm so thankful for these meetings and for, you know, for everything in recovery. And, yeah, I wish everybody a great day. With that, I pause. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Johan M. from Sweden. Next, we have Bonnie B., followed by Karen W.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Crystal, and thanks for all the shares so far. They've been amazing. Bonnie B., living in Florida, gratefully recovered for today, and I agree, it's for the next 24 hours is what I have. Yeah, this paragraph, again, is sobering, considering what's coming behind it, I mean, what's coming next. But I look at the words in this paragraph, near the end of that bleak November. I mean, this is how I came into this program, at the end of myself. Like, well, I thought it was the end of myself. Obviously, I had many trips around the mountain, but feeling like, oh, my goodness, there's nothing else I can do. I've tried it all. And that word bleak, I looked it up. It means, seems unlikely to improve, gloomy, depressing, emptiness, sadness. And when I heard that word empty, I immediately thought of, this is what I did. I went from one thing to another thing, putting all of my pursuits in it, thinking I would feel a certain way on the other side. And I never did. I always came out feeling empty. And to fill that emptiness, I went back to the food because food was always a step up. Everything seemed to disappoint. And so I, like everyone else, I go back to the same thing. In the end, what it comes down to for me is I got to stay connected to God. I got to stay connected to God. So I have to ask myself on a daily basis and sometimes multiple times a day if I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, or I would like to say if I lose my sense of peace, if I feel like I'm no longer tethered, what am I running to? What am I trying to fill myself up with today? You know, what is it that I'm looking for? Because anything other than a connection to my God is going to always leave me empty on the other side. It's always going to leave me empty. Someone was kind enough to give me the definition of, or to help me to understand the difference between selfish and self-seeking when I first came in, because they were very confusing to me. And she said, selfish is just always about me. I want what I want and I want it now. It's just all roads end with me. And self-seeking, she said, think of an empty bucket. You walk around with an empty bucket and you're always looking for someone or something to fill that bucket. You're seeking from some outside entity that's eye level, something that you can only get from God. And when they don't fill it, as people don't, because people, it's not their job to fill it, you're going to end up feeling a certain way. And then, if you have the same DNA that I have, you're going to end up going back to what I went back to, which was a sense of peace through food. That was very helpful to me. Look at this. Whenever I have those emotions and I have them on a regular basis, I have to ask myself, what am I trying to fill myself up with? What am I looking to here? Because all of it's going to end up empty. I have to lean in and look up. And then run through a 10 step and figure out what's going on in that fourth column. That's where I find my filling. Thanks, Crystal. And with that, I'll pass. Blessings, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next, we have Karen W., followed by Vasa O.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas. Bleak stands out for me. I can remember sitting at the table stuffing my face. And I was a concealer. I would hide food, especially in my bedroom, in my nightstand, or in bags, or in my closet. The fear of not having enough. And I don't have to worry about how, where, who. My stash, do I have enough? Those worries are gone, thanks to God and this program and everyone out there listening. And I thank you for everyone doing service. You know, I want to seek God, be less self-centered and more God-centered. And I'm abstinent today. And I'm coming up on 30 days again. And I sure have been trudging through this program, but each time new doors open and I learn more about myself. So I'm grateful for those opportunities to learn more and understand more that I am an addict and I am a compulsive overeater, that once I get started, I cannot stop myself. And I thought I was a strong woman that could do everything, but I cannot. I need y'all. I need my God to give me guidance every day. And I'm no longer consumed with the fear of food. And that is a fabulous freedom. I'm just grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Karen W. And next we have Vasa O., after which I'll be taking a few more names. Vasa, press star 1 to unmute, please. Can I be heard?
Yes, moderator, you're
yes,
heard.
You can. Yes, you can be heard, Crystal.
Thank you. All right, is Vasa O still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Crystal, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Florida, Port Charlotte, Florida. And I knew there was something wrong with me. I just did not know what was wrong with me. And, you know, with the food addiction or with my life, I had no clue. I had no clue. Trying to control the food for many, many years. And before I came to the program and finding a power greater than myself, I remember finding myself praying to God, which I very rarely pray to God, not that often. But I guess the desperation from within inside of myself led me to that prayer just to say to God, you know, God, if you're out there, please show me where you are. I was desperate, you know. I was just burnt out, trying to control the food. And I had no clue that food was a disease or it was eating disorder. I never thought about it, you know. And I found hope. That was my last hope, you know, coming through the doors of Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, oh, my God, you know, I have a disease which I didn't even know. I was supposed to control it by myself, by my own willpower. I couldn't. Well, I needed to find a power greater than myself, which is God. And I had a hard time even saying God in those years. I liked the idea of higher power better than God. And today I do say higher power, which I call God. And I had no clue. I found there was a name for it. Okay, you have eating disorder or disease, and there's a solution for it. I was so excited to find out. Then I found what the problem was, and then what the solution. I was so excited to find out what the solution was, because whatever I was doing, it did not work over the years. And then I was ready and I was willing. You know, I mean, Bill said something about in November drinking. I could never live the rest of my life without the alcoholic foods. I thought I was just going to die miserable and unhappy being fat woman. And then I found the solution, the allergy of the body, the mental obsession. And what did the people do, the 100 men and women, to recover? And I wanted that, and I wanted to do that. And I needed to put the food down because it was killing me. Gradually, I was digging the grave, what I heard at a meeting, with a fork and a spoon, digging my own grave. But I had no knowledge about any of that stuff. And I threw myself, and I'm so grateful to be recovering and recovered as I go along, doing the steps, the tools, whatever. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Vasa O. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we are at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the chapter Bill's Story, on page 8, the third paragraph, that begins with, near the end of that bleak November, reading through that one paragraph, ending with, I would need it before daylight. And we are commenting on that one paragraph. Who would like to share?
Jen A.
Jen A. Anybody else?
Ken W. H.
Rachel B.
I've got Jen. I've got Jen, Ken, and Rachel. We've got lots of time, so feel free to star one and unmute and let me know if you'd like to share.
Sue Ann W.
Sorry, could you say your first name again, please?
Sue Ann.
I got you, Sue Ann. Thank you. Who else would like to share? All right, so we'll get started with that list then, and we'll probably have time for some more. So we've got Jen A, Ken W H, Rachel B, and Sue N W. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Crystal. Thanks so much for moderating this morning. It's great to hear you on the line. My name is Jen A, and I'm recovered here in Colorado. Thank you, God. When I look at this paragraph and I think about my experience, it wasn't November for me, but it was definitely a date that I remember. in fact, I wrote it down in my journal, and I kept track of all the dates and all my weights, right, as I was going to the program of Overeaters Anonymous, and I would attend my meetings. But, I was still eating. And I think the thing was secretly eating, right? Concealed. I love that word. I was a concealer. I was a concealer of a lot of things. But the food was definitely one of them. And then on that day, I'll never forget, after visiting 6 convenience stores, the last place I rolled up to was a back alleyway. And that back alleyway, it was dark. And I was just binging and vomiting, toothbrush in one hand. The door was open on my car, the bakery bags and boxes that everybody had talked about, and I had heard all the stories, were sitting in my front seat, and I just kept vomiting and trying to get up everything that I had binged on for the last hour, 2 hours. And I was successful. And yet the tears were streaming from my eyes. And I'll never forget that there was a light in that back alleyway at Trader Joe's. And it shone down through the windshield of my car. And, it was God. I know it was God. Because I just was having this conversation with me, the light in the windshield. And it was like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And, everybody says, pick up the phone, call somebody before you eat. I always say, regardless, pick up the phone anytime, eating or not eating. Because I picked up the phone that day and I called somebody, and that person has been my sponsor ever since, for the past few years. And I'm so grateful. And now I think about how this paragraph refers to me today, because, the food doesn't call to me. That's the gift and the miracle that's been given to me because I work the steps and I continue to live the steps on a daily basis and turn to God to the best of my human ability. But what happens to me today? What am I concealing today? Anger and resentment against a coworker, frustration against finances. Different things can still come up for me today, and I can still conceal those things. And that's why I'm thankful that I have this 12-step program, these meetings to remind me, a sponsor that I speak to once a week, an inventory that I can do on a daily basis, starting at step 1 all the way through step 7, 8, and 9 if I've harmed anybody. Admitting that I'm powerless happens to me on a daily basis, even as a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm definitely not perfect. I'm definitely not cured. And that's what this program has taught me. I'm a human being. And, I'm allowed to make mistakes. Thanks, Crystal, for the time. I'll stop there. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jen A. from Colorado. Next, we have Ken W. H., followed by Rachel B.
Thanks, Crystal. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. I just have this image of myself, the hiding, you know, everything hidden and quiet. And I think of, as a kid, playing flashlight tag in the evening into the dark hours. And we'd go looking for each other with our flashlights, and we'd go hide if we weren't it. And we just have this image of just finding this dark place to hide, and my flashlight batteries going bad and not working anymore, and not being able to find my way home. Even though I heard kids saying, come on in, ollie in free, everybody come. I've just lost in that darkness of aloneness, no matter where I was, even in a crowd. Bill, I just see Bill in that real dark, lonely place at his kitchen table, a place he's probably sat for so many times to drink. And me in that lonely place, wherever it was, that was dark, private, hidden, and it was bleak. There was no positive outcome in sight. And wow, what a terrible place to be. And I picked up on the first three words of this paragraph, near the end of life for, you know, me, for Bill. It was close to the end of life for him, and but it was also near the end of active disease. Just not quite there, almost. But thank God, and it's coming in. This is a spoiler alert. It's coming in the next paragraph. Ebby was in the process of dialing. He had picked up the phone, and he was calling someone, a friend, and. Thank God so many of you have picked up the phone to call me in my dark times. And just know that I'm not alone. I am not alone. That is a fundamental principle, I believe, of this program, that our being in touch with each other is just another way of saying, Ken, you're not alone. You are not alone. And you don't ever have to be alone again. So thank you all for picking up your telephones and reaching out. I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next we have Rachel B., followed by Sue Ann W.
Good morning. I'm Rachel morning. B. from Dayton, Ohio. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for everyone who did pick up the phone and press star one and who has done it for years. I've been listening to this phone call for probably 5 years now, but I have only shared maybe four times, but there was space this morning. So thank you everyone who allowed me space that spoke to me to pick up the phone. I was looking at this paragraph and the words that just kept repeating in my mind are, carry me through. Carry me through that night and the next day. And it reminds me of how I have gone to so many things in my life that like make me feel safe. Like, okay, this is going to carry me through. This is going to be all the support I need, or at least support I need to function, to match some sort of standards that I have in my mind. And when it was food carrying me through, and sometimes it was a diet carrying me through, like my plan that's going to make me feel better enough to get through tonight is going to be my plan for how things are going to go tomorrow. I have made so many plans to carry me through. And when I found program, it was a food plan that carried me through. Oh my goodness, that seemed to carry me really well. But then, you know, I certainly had my stashes of food even on the food plan that were carrying me through too. And you know what it was for years and years? Chewing gum, sugar-free chewing gum. That carried me through a good 8 years, 9, 10 years after being in program. And it helped me through all those difficult emotions that would come up. And it took my daughter, I have three daughters. It carried me through engagement and marriage and being in an attractive sized body, this chewing gum. And when I got pregnant and was no longer able to force myself into the plan for happiness. I started putting on weight, and the things that were carrying me weren't working anymore, but I wasn't ready to give them up. I was still looking that night and the next day forward. I just need to get through, you know, what's right ahead of me. And I was not just here. I was always thinking about getting to the next thing, getting to where I was going to feel better. I was never here right now with you where I am on this phone. And I have no idea how many of the rest of you are just like me, faithfully picking up this phone every morning, and or who did it today and who are just here right now in this moment. I feel really grateful that I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get through this next moment when I hang up. I know that what has carried me so far is going to be there. What a difference in life. And it's like God is this river that I heard in a song one time that has really stuck with me, that I want God to be the rock and my plan for what I'm going to eat next and what's going to take me there. And I want to say, God, you're this rock and I feel swept away by the river, but I'm hanging on to this solid thing and I will never let go. But the rock said, God is the river swimmer. Thank you. God is the river swimmer. So let go. And when I have let go and I have been carried in this moment, wow, what a gift. Thank you all for being with me and helping me let go to be carried.
Thanks so much, Rachel B. And now we have Sue N. W., and I'll be able to take a few more names after that.
Good morning. This is Sue Ann from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Crystal, thank you for your service. It's lovely to hear your voice this morning. And thank you, everybody, for your shares, which are so enriching in my life so far today. I have had many dark times, and I can totally relate to the fact that I always have a refrigerator downstairs, excuse me, to look into if I feel like I need something to help me through the night, which was food for a very long time. I haven't been here for a little while. I started doing the steps again just yesterday, and I certainly see the light at the end of the tunnel because I know that this is the right path for me. A lot of times I use the scale as my motivation. I got to get that weight. I can get that weight down. I know if I weigh myself, and I way less sighted yesterday. I've done a good job. I'm a good doer. I'm a person who's motivated by doing stuff. But I realize that that's not really the real deal. The real deal is just being quiet, getting closer to my higher power. This morning I woke up and I was like, oh, wow, I'm up in time for my meeting and I have a few more minutes and what do I do now? And I'm like, oh, take your quiet time with God. What a revelation. So I had my quiet time with God and got in time for the meeting, and I feel truly blessed to be here. And thank you for letting me share my past.
All right. Thanks so much, Sue N. W. from Philadelphia. We still have time for about four more shares. So if you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Gwyneth W. in Georgia.
Gwyneth W.
Rivka R.
Got you, Rivka.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Maura H. in New York, please.
Sorry, could you say your first name again, please? Okay, I think it was maybe Laura H. from New York. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maura with an M.
Thank you, Maura. Okay, Maura.
Thank you.
All right. So I've got, so we'll stop there, please. I've got Gwyneth W., Rivka R., Chris G., and Maura H. Good morning, Gwyneth. Get started with you.
Good morning. This is Gwyneth, W-L-Y-N-N-E-T-H, W in Georgia.
Oh, Lynette W. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. you, everyone, for your service this morning. It's good to be on the line. This passage makes me think of obsession and how dark and obsessed Bill was at this point, that all he's thinking about is, does he have his supply of alcohol? Does he know where his next fix is coming from? And I remember being like that right before coming back into program, and it didn't matter that I wanted to stop eating compulsively. It didn't matter that I swore off junk food and unhealthy food every night before I went to bed and every morning before I ate. I had no control over it, and what a dark and scary and hopeless place that was, to not have barely any other life or thought outside of my next food fix. And how amazing my life is now that I have all this free brain space where I can participate in life and play with my grandkids, help watch my grandson, help out around the house, and do my work for my job, and participate in life instead of wrapped up in this tiny little bunch in darkness inside myself, wondering where that next fix was going to be. And I appreciate that that's the passage today, and it made me think about that. And thanks to my higher power and all of my fellows and you and these meetings, I don't have to live like that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynette. Next, we have Rivka R., followed by Chris G.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service, Crystal. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. So I just wanted to thank you for everybody for your shares. I just wanted to comment on that certain satisfaction. I still identify with that certain satisfaction, knowing that I had my stash. I mean, I remember even as a 12-year-old, you know, I would scrounge around in drawers for a loose change, and I would ride my bike to the store, and I'd buy bags of stuff that I would hide under my bed, and that certain satisfaction knowing it was there and nobody even knew about it, and I could just, you know, binge to my heart's discontent. But and that just carried through my life, just, you know, hiding stuff, knowing that I had stuff around, and that in that moment I'm okay. Like that feeling of I'm okay in that moment, knowing that I have my stuff. We're about to go out of town again, and I'm having a lot of anxiety, and I'm just so glad to be on this meeting this morning, because I don't feel okay in this moment. You know, I going away again, and we're going to take to Nashville to take care of some family stuff, and then I have to remind myself, I'm just so glad that here the shares that it's not the food where I feel that gives me that feeling of feeling okay in this moment, even with anxiety about going. I can be okay because I have program, because I have the truth of what my soul is here to do, and connect with God, and know that with God I'm okay in this moment, even though it doesn't feel comfortable. I'm okay with God in this moment, and that's such a blessing. So everyone have a blessed day, and I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Rivka R. from Baltimore. Next, we have Chris G., followed by Maura H. Chris G., do you want to press star 1 to unmute, please?
Again. Thank you again. And thanks to everybody that for sharing this morning and this week, or last week. We're in Bill's story. It says at the top of the page, Bill's story, and we're at the part where it says this is what it was like, and then we're going to find out what happened and what it was like after, or what it's like now. So what it was like when I couldn't tell my story, you know, Chris's story, because even though I was selfish and self-centered, I wasn't awake. You know, I was asleep, and I didn't know what my story was, and how I was like Bill. But I remember identifying a trigger food that I just couldn't eat it, and if I ate it, I couldn't stop, and I just wanted more. And the only solution was to not eat it. But I couldn't. I could put it down, and then I would pick it back up, and I would put it down. You know, I remember how I felt when I was 18, and then another place where I was at, how I felt when I was 20, and then how I felt when I was 28, and I was still just trying to put it down. So I needed to hear Bill's story, and that I don't have the power to put it down. And self-knowledge, the knowledge that I should put it down, wasn't enough. And so I need your example for me to follow, and your inspiration and motivation. And I need to be part of the group, part of the group, part of this. And I need to be useful. And I need to tell my story. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Chris G. And now we have Moira H. Moira, press *1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for taking my share. I'm new at this. I have exactly 15 days of abstinence from my compulsive alcoholic foods. And I'm so grateful. Anyway, I want to share that I understand and relate to the bleakness of a lifetime of compulsive overeating. I really felt in the line about the certain satisfaction that he had enough gin. I absolutely would feel and think during the day if something came up, well, tonight I'm going to sneak that food and I'm going to be okay. And it really, really did comfort me. But it allowed me also to ignore what was really going on inside. Even with all my therapy and all my self-help, you know, which I'm kind of an expert on, it didn't help me at all with the food. I identified with him hiding the gin near the head of his bed. My goodness, I would literally stash food on my nightstand and quietly eat while my husband lay right next to me. And I'm so grateful to be free of that for today. 2 weeks ago, I admitted, I think really deeply in my soul, that I absolutely had no power. I just said, God, you have to take this away from me. There's no other option. It's got to be taken. And then I was able to attend a beautiful OA retreat with a magnificent speaker and beautiful people, and I was swept right back into the program. And I also just want to say, going to open AA meetings with my son, who's in recovery, also brought me back to the program, because I've been in the program for decades, struggling, though, because, you know, this awareness of alcoholic foods was told to me, but it wasn't in the language that I could identify with, and I really just accepted it. Oh, my God, I am an alcoholic with food. I've heard it for decades, but for some reason I was ready. Anyway, I want to thank you and everybody for helping me and making me a part of this group. And thank you for the people that literally just flooded me with calls and texts, and for the sponsor that's willing to help me with all my craziness. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. With that, I'll pass. And Maura from New York, by the way.
Thank you so much, Moira H. from New York. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you, everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 11th, is 21,211. That's 21211. 211. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Colleen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Colleen M., recovered compulsive reader from Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will continue to disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you have and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.